demonstrations, many of them peaceful, in the wake of the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, in response to racism and prejudice, have raised the question for us, what is church in a society that feels fractured and divided? In fact, that's an important question for us to ask at any point. What is church? And particularly in a time when we cannot meet together as an entire congregation, what, therefore, is church? I think we dare not miss the opportunity to have that conversation. What is church? I'd encourage you to stop the video for a moment, and if you're with someone, talk about it. What is church? Our passage today is in Ephesians chapter 2. And in this text, Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, presents a profound answer and commentary on this question. In chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death." Now here, both groups refers to Jewish people and Gentile people. One group of people that had a profound and deep religious awareness of God and their traditions, and another group which perhaps worshipped idols or even the emperor. These people were vastly diverse from one another, but God reconciled both of them to himself. The need for reconciliation implies something has been lost, and Greek scholar Kenneth Wiest teaches us that this word reconcile means to go back to something that was before, to unite with God. And so through the cross of Christ, God is uniting us with himself again. Why was reconciliation necessary? Because racism is not the core problem. A deeper evil behind racism and prejudice exists in humanity. It's one that can't be re-educated or contained or reformed. In Paul's letter to Titus, he says this, "Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other." Evil lives within humanity, and humanity cannot find the solution to racism or evil, which we've proven again and again and again. But together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. So what is church? Church is vastly diverse people reconciled at the cross. Church is reconciliation, so we are to look for different. Even the Apostle Peter was self-conscious about eating with people just not like him, though they were fellow believers in Christ, when his cohorts came from Jerusalem and they were more religious rule-keeping people. And so he refused to eat with his new Gentile friends. The Apostle Paul rebuked him for his hypocrisy, and he said, "Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law." Our temptation when we feel threatened by people who are unlike us may be either to keep our distance or, in fact, to actively resist them in some way. A few instances across our province has seen nasty messages left on cars from out of province because of fear of COVID-19. Now, leaving nasty notes on cars visiting from Alberta is not the same or quite bearing the same stench as racism, but it comes from the same us versus them mentality. Do we only know people who are like us? Do we only talk to people who think like we do or dress like we do? If so, we're just going to church. But what God calls us to do is be the church. Church is vastly diverse people reconciled at the cross. Church is reconciliation, so look for difference. Scott McKnight quotes Christina Cleveland, who wrote, "When I first began walking with Christ, I felt an immediate and authentic connection with any other Christian who crossed my path. Orthodox, Catholic, Charismatic, Lutheran, Evangelical, Black, White, Asian, Ben, it didn't matter. We were family. But as I walked with Jesus, somehow my growth had been coupled with increasingly stronger opinions about the right way to be a follower. I started keeping people I didn't enjoy or agree with at arm's length." She adds this, "I chose to build community with people with whom I could pretty much agree on everything." The cross of Christ is God's response to deep-seated evil in the human heart. God's Son entered the world where political powers had reached their full arrogant height, as N.T. Wright puts it. Revolutionaries were fighting the Roman authorities, but using the same violence in return for the Roman violence. Jesus' apostle, or disciple, a man named Judas, sold him for cash. And another disciple of Jesus named Peter, when he was under pressure, saved his own skin by denying he ever knew Jesus. Darkness was loose in the land. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, one of the thieves beside him mocked him, telling him, "If you really are the Son of God, save yourself and us." And into this horror, Jesus died. Peter Kreeft, quoted by Lee Strobel, shares an illustration. He says, if you're the devil, you want to kill God, but you can't. And then you observe that God sends his Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world. And you think love must have addled God's brain. How could he do such a stupid thing? And so you conspire with the authorities, with Pilate, with Herod, with Caiaphas, the high priest, and the Roman soldiers, and you have Jesus crucified. And as he bleeds and dies, you do a celebratory dance because you believe you've won a great victory. But you don't realize that the blood of Jesus Christ is your ultimate defeat, because through his blood, Christ has conquered sin and condemnation and taken away your power to condemn people. Kreeft writes, at the time of the crucifixion, the disciples couldn't see how anything good could result. Similarly, as we face struggles and trials and suffering, we sometimes can't imagine good emerging. But we've seen how it did in the case of Jesus, and we can trust it will in our case too. When Jesus announced that he would die at the hands of the ruling religious authorities, Peter reprimanded him for saying so. Jesus called Peter Satan, and he said this, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. The way of the cross contradicts our natures. Jesus' disciples James and John illustrated this profoundly when they said they wanted to call down fire from heaven to burn up a town because it didn't welcome them. These same disciples of Jesus requested places of honor at his right and left when he came into his kingdom. Jesus contradicted what they said and said the leaders of this world lord it over those who follow them. He said instead that to lead in Christ is to serve. He said this, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Paul said he'd given up striving to keep the law and all of its rules because he'd found something more essential, something that would result, in fact, in him living a godly life. He said this, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what is church? Church is people, yes, but more. Church is people who get together, certainly, but that's not essentially it. Church is the crucified people. Church is people who have been crucified with Christ. Church is reconciliation. Look for different. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Living a crucified life with Christ means taking the kingdom of God into the world, not waiting for God to judge it, as James and John wished. It means taking the presence of Christ into a world where evil still steals and kills and destroys. The church is people crucified with Christ living in the real world where evil still exists. Being crucified means serving people different than we are, initiating conversations with people who may disagree with us. It means loving people and showing compassion for people who don't think as we do. Crucified people are not, first of all, liberals or conservatives. British Columbians, Albertans, Canadians, Irish, Swedish, Americans, Russians, Europeans, Africans, Indians, Asians, and then Christians. No, followers of Jesus Christ are followers of Christ first, the crucified people. As Miroslav Volf puts it, we have left our cultural gods and come under the God of all cultures. Jesus came into this world with no army. He didn't even have a bodyguard. He was vulnerable, depending on the power of the Holy Spirit in all of life. He spoke out against oppression and evil, and he went to the cross to face evil head on. And we are Christ's presence, his crucified, suffering, risen presence in the world. He is not some distant God who sits in heaven and pulls strings while families are sucked away by a tsunami, or people lose a child, or a town burns down. He is Emmanuel, God with us, who enters into the suffering and the difficulties in our society. And as crucified people go where people hurt and live out the presence of Christ there. Ephesians 2:18 says, "Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us." His crucifixion is our introduction into life in the Holy Spirit, who came upon Christ, the same Spirit who came upon Christ at his baptism. Your Heavenly Father wanted to reconcile with you, and so he sent his Son to open the door via the cross, and then he sent the Holy Spirit to usher you into his presence where you now live as a believer in Jesus Christ. Learn to live in conscious communion with the Spirit of God. I remember wanting so badly to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, or to feel something perhaps dramatic from the Holy Spirit. And then I felt guilty for not experiencing that, until I discovered that what God was saying to me was not you have to feel something, but that you need to believe his promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge him. And I began to acknowledge him daily and invite him to guide me and teach me from his word, to comfort me and to be make me aware of his presence in my life. Believe his promise instead of searching for the feeling. God doesn't keep his distance regardless of your personality type. He doesn't keep his presence back based on race or background or emotional makeup or intellect or whether you've been far from God or you grew up in church. God is the reconciler, and church is people who live through his Holy Spirit, who live through his Holy Spirit. Church is reconciliation, and you and I are to look for different and be there. Dare we walk with Jesus where it doesn't feel emotionally safe, even where people are hurt, or where violence or suffering is possible physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically? The Bible says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. The suffering love of God, which we live through God's Spirit, is God's answer to evil in the world. A Palestinian named Tass, a sniper for Yasser Arafat, used to shoot Israelis. That was his task. He went to Qatar to visit his family, and his father prevailed upon him not to go back into the fight, but to move to the United States instead, which he did. There he met and married a young woman. He worked hard to provide for his family. He got entangled in adultery. He was questioned by the FBI and eventually came to the end of himself. But he met a follower of Jesus Christ named Charlie. And somehow in that relationship, God began to work in the life of Tass. One night he had a powerful dream, a dream-filled episode where he encountered the risen Christ, and he was brought into a relationship with the risen Jesus. He said that the next morning he knelt down to pray. And as he prayed, he heard these words come out of his mouth. "O God, bless your people Israel. O Lord, lead them back to their promised land. Let them see you as their God." He said he clapped his hand over his mouth because he had never in his life had a good thought toward a Jewish person. Around that time, he was doing a business deal with a Jewish man, and he found that all of the hatred that he had felt for them was drained away by the presence of the Lord Jesus in his life. He says this, "I began to see that the closer we all got to Jesus, the Messiah, the more reconciled we could become to one another." And he embarked on a ministry of reconciliation and practical care to the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. And he said he discovered at the very place in the West Bank where he had once been there to bring death, he was now bringing life. Maybe Barbara Brown Taylor captures something of what it means to live the crucified, spirit-filled life when she wrote, "The only clear line I draw these days is this. When my religion tries to come between me and my neighbor, I will choose my neighbor. Jesus never commanded me to love my religion." She's not saying we should not live by truth, of course, but that we don't create barriers that don't need to be there. Rather, we live from the cross. Church is people, all right, but church is people, diverse people, reconciled at the cross. Church is crucified people who live through the Holy Spirit. Church is reconciliation. Look for different. If we only love those people who are like us, we are just going to church, but we are called to be the church. So what do we do? Well, one thing we can do is imagine that on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being totally being absorbed with people just like us and 10 being open and loving to every human being, you're somewhere on that scale. Guess where you might be? Let's imagine you're a 6. One thing you might do is go to the Lord and say, "I want to live a crucified life. Fill me with the Spirit. I'd like to be at least a 7 or maybe just a 6.5 today." Practice that. A second thing we do is to live from the cross and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to start each day from the cross, not just to run back to the cross when we know we failed, though that may be necessary, but to start from the cross, acknowledging that we come to him broken but filled with his Spirit because we are the crucified people. I want as much as anybody to get back together as a congregation. Can't wait for that day, and that day will come eventually. But we dare not miss this powerful opportunity right now to ask ourselves, what is church? Church is reconciliation. And the church is always open. I don't mean the building. But we, the people, the church, are open, always open. Church is reconciliation. Look outward.